Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 46 of Season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth podcast. Welcome back to the show, Heather.
Yippee-ki-yay! Oh, that's the wrong
one. No, wrong one. Wrong one. But you can still say yippee-ki-yay. That's fine.
We're gonna
continue to be yippee-ki-yaying, so that's fine. This season it's not, but next season will. So we'll be back to that. So don't worry about that. So I first want to state for anyone who's listening, anyone who's also following where we are in the movie and what's going on. So I just want to have a little bit of a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode, and actually most of this week, that some of the discussions and the content of what we're going to be talking about here are definitely of an adult nature. Some things might be beeped. Some things probably won't be beeped. So if you have a sensitive ear to listening to adult conversations about sex and about orgasms and things like that, I don't want to say you shouldn't tune in. We want you to listen. But if you really are sensitive, so just you can listen to part of this show and then skip ahead till Wednesday's show towards the end. Then you can just move along from there. It's just three episodes of this week will probably have some, I guess you can say, sensitive adult content because of what we have to discuss, because of what's going on during the movie. But because Heather and I are both adults, and hopefully most people who are listening to this are adults, you know, it's all part of an adult conversation about talking about a movie about relationships. So thank you for agreeing to join me, Heather, on this momentous week, I guess you can say, of Harry Met Sally, because, you know, this is the scene that we're going to be talking this week about, the scene that everybody always talks about when you hear about the movie When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
There's nothing like Katz's Deli in When Harry Met Sally.
I still haven't had a sandwich that good my entire life.
That's true.
One day, I'm telling you, I'll find the perfect sandwich.
Good luck. Maybe you actually need to go to Katz's Deli. Maybe you'll be able to get something there. I don't know.
I hope so. I'll have to order everything on the side and be very picky about it, which always makes me nervous.
Well, we'll get there in a second when we can talk about what Sally is eating there also. So episode 46 begins with Sally continuing to play with her food and ends with Sally seemingly appalled. Last week on Friday, you know, when I had my guest Jess on, so we were talking, you know, about the first part of this movie that has this scene in the deli. And one of the things that we pointed out that was really strange was, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Heather, or if any of our listeners have actually noticed this beforehand, but because I never noticed it until last week when I was doing my research for those episodes, you know, that Sally while she's talking, she opens up her deli sandwich, you know, like takes the top piece of bread off, and we see her take five pieces of, I guess it looks like turkey roll, off of her sandwich. Okay. And today she continues with that. We see her take at least another three pieces of meat out of the sandwich. Okay. So apparently, you know, she's a very picky eater. We know that from what we've seen in previous parts of the movie, and we'll see it later on also. But she's in this particular place, she's not even picky enough to say something to the waiter. She's just willing to take it as it is and then deal with it herself. You know, I'm the type of person who, when I go to a deli, I want to have more meat on my sandwich than less, you know. And she, if she's already taken eight pieces of meat off of the, you know, this sandwich, you know, she has a very lean sandwich as opposed to, you know, the eight plus piece. I mean, maybe she just doesn't want any meat. I don't know.
Oh, well, if she didn't, she would definitely say that, because one of the things I do appreciate about Sally is Sally does know what she likes, and she's very specific about it, and she has no problem asking for the things she wants. Now, as someone who's worked in the restaurant industry for, you know, 10 years or so, she was the worst possible person ever to wait on. But I kind of have to agree with her with the meat choice here, too. I like a lot of meat if I'm eating a wrap. But if I'm just eating a sandwich, and a deli sandwich like that, they're delicious. They're fantastic. But, I don't need all of the meat. I can't taste all the extra goodies on it then. I can't taste my pickles and my cheese and whatever kind of dressing the
Well,
sandwich has either.
it actually looks like she has nothing on that
No, it
sandwich.
looks naked.
It's
It
a
does.
dry, it's definitely a very dry sandwich, you know, because she has what looks like either potato salad or coleslaw, you know, that the waiter brought them, and that's it. You know, and the fact
And
that
this is
she's able.
important because we need to know what she's eating so we can have the same experience she does. So
Right.
this is
Well, many
actually
people have
very
tried
important.
and might not have,
Yeah,
you know.
I had to go
Yeah, no,
for
that's fine.
it.
Perfect. You're right. But again, the whole idea is, I mean, the reason that I believe that it is a completely dry sandwich is because, you know, she's easily just picking off those pieces of meat with her
Yeah, you
hand.
can see the bread too. You can see
You
it
know.
with the bread that it's just it there's no dressing, there's no kind of anything
There's
on
no
it. It looks
ketchup,
like it's
there's no
just meat and
mustard,
maybe
there's
cheese.
nothing.
Yeah, no mayo, nothing. No, nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah, and
And she's just taking it and
she
tossing
just
it.
and I don't even know what she does with it. She's like, you know, I was thinking when I was watching Friday's episode, I was thinking that maybe she's like making two sandwiches out of it or something like that. But she's not. She's just, you know, 'cause she puts the bread back on the sandwich.
She's also at this point starting to get agitated with Harry. And if anything else, it might just be a anxious tick, if anything. She already is very picky about her food and everything in general. She likes things the way she likes them. Everything is neat and organized. So she's starting to get a little bit perturbed with where the conversation's going. So I feel like part of it, and maybe it was just Meg Ryan, you know, doing her own thing in the moment too. But maybe part of it too is kind of a physical exploration of her anxiety and agitation with Harry's presumption.
Okay, that's possible. So, okay, we'll get into the dialogue a little bit. We'll do it bit by bit. We won't do it line by line, but you know, we'll do section by section because that probably works the best way here. So, I mean, on Friday she started saying, "I'm so glad I never got involved with you. I just would have ended up being some lady you had to get out of bed and leave at 3 in the morning and go clean your andirons, and you don't even have a fireplace." And she goes, "Not that I would know this. Up until now, I had no idea what an andiron is. You know,
I still don't.
I didn't even think of even looking it up every single other time that I've seen this movie. And I've seen this movie dozens of times. You know, it was just a throwaway line, you know, which is funny to say, you know, that you're gonna go clean your andirons at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, that's and then when I found out what an andiron was, it was even more surprising to me. So an andiron is also known as a fire dog, and it is a bracket support normally found in pairs on which logs are laid for burning in an open fireplace, so the air may circulate under the firewood, allowing better burning and less smoke.
Okay. Yeah, I know
Okay, it
exactly what
also
that is.
stops the logs from rolling out into the room, which is pretty important. You know, it's the metal pieces that you have in the bottom of a fireplace that you can put the logs in.
Yeah.
I never knew
Yeah.
that they were called andirons. You
Or why you would go clean them after sex.
at 3 o'clock in the morning. You
Yeah.
know.
Well, that makes it quite funny.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's like no, because like, why would she even throw this out? You know that you can go clean your andirons. You know, forget about if it's after sex or any other time. You know, like, why would that
Why
even
would
come
you
into
go clean
someone's
them?
mind? No, you probably do need to clean them. That's not a question here. You know, most things in a person's house need to be cleaned
At some point,
at certain
yes.
intervals, whatever it is. You know, I don't know how often one needs to clean their andirons. That I wasn't able to. That I didn't look up because it just I didn't care. You know, but for her to just, you know, for that to come up in the normal conversation was just very strange to me.
And
You know,
also,
because he's talking about squash and he's talking about getting a haircut and he's talking about having an early meeting or whatever it is, you know, and she just throws out andirons. And you know, knowing now what
she's
an
very
andiron is,
sally.
it's even funnier than before when I
I
didn't know
think
what
so.
she was talking about.
It's very sally though. It is.
Yes.
She's kind of an odd duck, and that's one of the things that I appreciate about her. But you're
That's
right,
true.
it does make it more funny because it's even stranger.
Yeah, because like, where does that come from? You know, because she also says because you don't even have a fireplace. Maybe Sally has a fireplace. I don't know if we ever see her sitting in front of a fireplace in her apartment. Probably not. You know,
No.
my assumption is that most people in New York City in, in rented apartments or even in bought apartments that are not a penthouse, they're probably not going to have a fireplace.
No. And this is still in their younger life too, part of the story. So they're not older or more wealthy and established at this point either. So
Well, they might
yeah,
be. We
it's
never know. I mean, they're in their mid 30s. She's approximately 30, 31, and
at this
he's like
point, yeah.
30. Yeah, he's like 35, 36. There's the script establishes that there's a five-year difference between them. When they were leaving the University of Chicago, she finished her BA and he was finishing
That's
his
right.
master's.
That's
Or
right.
he was actually he was finishing his law degree, not even his master's. Right. What do you know about fireplaces?
A good deal. I enjoy fire. My dad had one when I lived with him for a few years. Make fires all the time. But ours was one of those wood burning ones, so it was very different too. It wasn't exactly the we did not have one of the things that need to be cleaned and such. So
And irons.
yeah, and iron. Didn't have an andiron. I lived in one place when I lived in Detroit too, where we had a regular fireplace. But I was like 19 years old, and I don't think that we practiced very good fire safety at that time either.
Probably not.
I actually did cook a few grilled cheese sandwiches on the fireplace because we didn't have a stove for like a month.
Oh, wow. That's
Yeah.
very interesting.
In college, living in Detroit, it was fun. It's kind of a happy memory now. It was a little funny at the
I guess so. That makes sense. I mean, when I was growing up as a teenager, we did not have actually one second in when I was living in Southfield, in also in the suburbs of Detroit, we actually had a fireplace, but we never used it. It was like a crazy thing.
Really?
When I was living in New Jersey, I do have memories that we used the fireplace there. And then when I was 13, we moved to a different house in Detroit, in the Detroit area. And that one did not have a fireplace. I guess my parents figured that, why do we need to go buy a place with a fireplace since we don't use it? So.
No, well, a lot of people don't use theirs. My dad and my family, we're just a bunch of fire bugs. No matter where we go, we like to make fires. It's just a thing for us. So I get it, but I also get why other people probably want it. It's a lot of upkeep, and you have to watch it, take care of it. You have to pay attention to it. You have to continually feed it. There's a certain art to it. There is. I prefer the outdoor ones myself, but yeah. I'd like to have a house with I've never actually, other than my own place, I've never had my own place with a fireplace before, but it would be nice.
Okay, that's fair. So it's a fireplace is a structure that is made of either brick, stone, or metal that is designed to contain fire. They're used for generally for a relaxing ambiance or for heating the room. Most modern fireplaces have different types of heat efficiency, depending on how it's designed and things like that. Historically, they were used for heating the house, for cooking, or for heating water that was needed for laundry or other uses in the house that was needed. There's usually a fire pit or a firebox, where you actually have the fire. There's a chimney, and they have some sort of flue, a chimney or a flue that would help the exhaust gas to escape, from above, because heat rises, as they would say. What's very funny is the EPA has a whole bunch of campaigns about the risks of fireplaces, and they say smoke may smell good, but it's not good for
That's true, though.
Yeah, a lot of places now have electric fireplaces.
Yeah, my dad just moved to Novi. I say these things specifically because I know that you know
I know where
this
Novi
area,
is.
southeastern. Yeah, you know southeastern Michigan. He's just moved. He retired this year, and he just moved to Novi. And his new house, it has one of the electric fireplaces. And I'm like, what are you going to do? You're gonna lose your mind if you can't make a fire every day. And the house is on a golf course too. So
It's
it's
on
not
a
like he
golf
has a fun.
course.
Yeah, it's one of those houses that are on golf courses. There's literally like I think it's the eighth or ninth hole is his backyard. So he can't even put a fire pit outside in the backyard.
Oh, wow. Well, he should have thought about these
Yeah.
things before buying it,
He absolutely. should have. But that is why he's probably he spends a lot of his time in Gladwin, which is further up north, where he has a house on the lake, and he's enjoying that actually right now, where
Okay.
he's probably making a fire as we speak.
Well, because he's probably freezing his butt off up there, you know,
Yeah.
so.
Oh, it's cold. There's lots of snow up there right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, one of the things that I mean, I'm sure your father also has to worry about, you know, all these golf balls hitting his house. How can you have a house on a golf course? And for like
That's what
the
I've always wondered, but he says it's not too bad. And they ask me, I haven't played in years. I used to play pretty regularly. I'm not going to pretend like I was good, but I was to a point where I wasn't embarrassing. I didn't Billy Madison it, or excuse me, Happy Gilmore it.
okay.
But they asked me over the summer while we visited if I wanted to go do nine, and I kind of did, but I'm like, I'm not going to hit a golf ball here. I'm going to hit somebody's house. It's going to happen. And they're like, no, it'll be fine. We get some in our yard all the time. They've had a few on their porch. I guess one of the guys that lived behind him had a window broken once. It's bananas. It's
You probably
bananas.
can't get insurance. I don't think an insurance company would say,
I don't.
well, we're willing to insure, you know, a house that's on a golf course. I
Yeah,
don't know.
because it's a risk that you've chosen to take. And I know that there's a association within the community that they live in, but I don't remember how it all worked out. But yeah, it doesn't happen that often according to him. So I'm very surprised by that, but
Right.
I won't play on that course unless I have a lot of practice
Well,
beforehand. And even then
just
I
give.
don't trust myself.
Wait, because on every hole there's another person's house?
Yes, it goes through the entire neighborhood.
That's just
It's
amazing.
really
That's like it's
cool.
freaking
Don't get me
out,
wrong.
but
It looks neat. It looks neat. It's kind of nice. They have like little waterways and bridges that goes through everything. But we were having lunch there at the end of summer, and we're sitting on the porch and we're watching people go by. My youngest son is sitting there yelling at everybody, telling them good job and stuff, which would have totally screwed me up. But yeah, and I'm sitting there going, dude, you need to duck. It might hit you in the head and it'll hurt. Nope. They just kept going and kept going. And there was several people that wandered through and went through during our lunch out on the back porch. Absolutely bananas. I don't know. I've always wondered that though, because I've seen many houses on, or you know, many, especially in Canton area and Northville, there's tons and tons of subdivisions that are built on golf courses.
Wow. Wait,
It's
they're
just a
built on the
thing
golf
around here.
course? That was the idea that there was a golf course there, and then they decided to build houses
They build the golf course within the community. The whole thing is
within.
all connected. Yeah. It's all together. The idea is that
You can roll
they're
out of
all
bed
connected.
and go do the back nine, you know. Just...
Yeah. Which I like that aspect of it, but not for my backyard.
That's right.
It's bizarre.
Because
But it's such a thing. It's very common.
you probably constantly hear people screaming four. Four, four.
That's me. That's me. Even when I'm not playing, I stick my head out the window and yell at people. I'm sorry, I'm not very well behaved.
That's fine. Chimneys were actually invented in Northern Europe in the 8th, in the 11th or 12th century. And do you know that a famous person in America who added much to the invention of the fireplace in the house in
No.
the late 1700s? Who was a popular inventor that you can think of during the revolutionary times?
Franklin.
There you go. Benjamin Franklin.
Really? I know
Yes.
he invented, you know, a
He invented
hundred
them.
different things, but
Yeah.
my goodness.
Yeah, so he developed a convection chamber for the fireplace that greatly improved the efficiency of fireplaces and wood-burning stoves. He also improved the airflow by pulling air from a basement and venting out a longer area at the top. You know, he found ways to make it work even better that you have a fireplace in your house. So it just baffles me that that's you know, our good friend Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, he's just the man who just keeps on giving. Well,
That's right.
past being gone.
Yeah, that's true.
Brilliant. Meanwhile, someone else invented golf courses in a subdivision. It was
It's you know, it's 250 years later, 230 years later. So who knows? You know, stuff that goes with the times. Back then you needed to put a key on a on a kite in order to deal with the figuring out about lightning and electricity. And nowadays you don't need that on the golf course. You just have to know not to walk around with an umbrella on a golf course when it's raining.
It's probably smart. Go full Chevy Chase.
That's true. Let's get back to Harry Met Sally a little bit. So
Indeed.
Sally then Sally, says this to Harry, and Harry responds by saying, "Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you." "Yes, it is. You're a human affront to all women, and I am a woman. Hey, I don't feel great about this, but I don't hear anyone complaining." So first of all, Sally has a great response about the whole thing. I mean, she really should get offended by this. I mean, even as a guy, I'm offended by the way that, Harry is talking in this particular scene, by the way that the things that he's saying. Because I don't, we talked about this a little bit last week. I don't believe him when he says that, that he doesn't feel great about it. Because if you don't
No.
feel great about something, you wouldn't be doing it.
He might have residual guilt that follows through, but at this point, I don't think Harry's that evolved. At this point, I think he's getting there, but I think that right now he's only even acknowledged that because Sally has pointed it out. It probably hasn't occurred to him before.
Right.
And I think that's very common. This is also an older movie, so it's definitely dated in where we are enlightened by these things and not, but this was a conversation that wasn't something that was would have regularly been had at this time either, especially between a man and a woman, which is what makes it so wonderful. It really does. But I don't either. I don't think that Harry was cruel about it. I just don't think it ever occurred to him.
Okay. All right, that's fair. No, but for him to say that he doesn't feel great about it. Is it because he's saying, okay, I felt great at the time because, it's a way for me to get sex, but after that, I felt a little guilty about it. But if that's the case, then why would he keep doing it? It's like it's
Yeah,
almost
he didn't feel guilty enough to stop doing what he wanted.
exactly.
It's like
Exactly.
the kid who steals the candy from the candy store. He knows it's kind of wrong and he shouldn't do it, but if he gets away with it 10 times, he's going to try to get away with it 11 times.
That is true. And
There's no consequences.
that's the impression that we get of Harry here. This
Yeah,
is
absolutely.
Harry is doing this serially. This is not a one-off thing.
And also too, it was in this timeline too, it was much more accepted male behavior. Not appreciated, but much more socially acceptable for a man to behave this way.
But at the time, that's the way people were
At the
looking
time,
at it. Yeah,
indeed.
that's true. And I mean, Sally has a great response because she just says, "Of course not. You're out the door too fast."
She's brilliant. She's so brilliant.
Yeah, like how could you even hear anyone complaining? Because again, he's out the door and he's not calling these women back later on because they might find out one day that he doesn't have an andiron.
No. No. And you know what's great about it too? It's also her delivery. I mean, Billy Crystal is one of the funniest men that has ever lived on the planet. I adore Billy Crystal. I have always loved Billy Crystal. And I saw this movie as a child when I probably didn't understand half of what was going on. But Meg Ryan is hilarious. Yes,
Yes.
she was, especially in this timeline, she was America's sweetheart. Everybody loved her and adored her, but
Well, no, it
my
was this movie that did
she's
it. She wasn't
yeah, the
America's sweetheart before.
No. And this is why she's not only beautiful, but she is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And she's not afraid to be funny at her own expense either.
Correct. Right, because throughout most of the movie up until now, she seems somewhat clueless in certain aspects of her discussions.
Yeah.
The fact that she was talking about, that her biggest sexual fantasy is the fact that, that someone's going to come and rip off her dress, and that's it.
Yes,
It doesn't go
very
anything
true.
beyond that.
That's it. That's it. And she's like perfectly fine with that too.
Correct.
Yeah, she's like, no, it's great. I'm fine. But that's how rigid she is,
Correct. Now,
which
okay,
is what
here
makes
I'm.
this part so wonderful.
Right. Okay. And I'm going to ask you a question because the last 2 weeks there have also been female guests. Jess was on last week, and the week before that was Lisa. And I discussed this with both of them. So the scene 2 weeks ago, where the two of them are walking through Central Park, and they're talking, and they're telling They're fantasies or dreams. Okay. So Harry is talking about a dream. He woke up, I guess, more or less from a nightmare. I wouldn't necessarily call it, I guess you can call it a sexual nightmare of what he had, because his mother, is the judge, posing as the East German judge, that type of thing. And then Sally, what she's saying is this is more of, it's not a dream, and it's not like a wish, or like what is it? Do you think that that's the scenario she uses to make herself feel good, for lack of a better phrase?
I really, really like that euphemism. But that's kind of what I was leaning to with it. I would
Queen
say it is
of the castle.
her go-to fantasy.
Exactly.
Her go-to fantasy to achieve happiness.
Right.
But
Exactly. Because part of the whole thing
yeah.
is that Harry's story about, being in the Olympics or being in the Sexual Olympics, is something that he has no control over. This is a dream. He woke up from this dream.
Yeah.
Sally basically says that she's able to vary it by changing what she's wearing. Okay. So maybe she's just
Which makes sense. She's a personality type too.
right. She just turned on by what she's wearing. That's what that more or less sounds like.
Well, it's also the fact that Sally needs to have control of the situation. And she and even if it is a dream, let's just say it is just a dream. Sally would be lucid in her dreams, and it's not surprising to me that she would determine what she was wearing in each one.
Okay.
And
You're able to, what you've dreamt, and you've been able to change things in your dream?
oh gosh, I've had lucid dreams since I was a child. I know when I'm in my I know in my dreams that I'm dreaming. I have total control over myself 90% of the time in my dreams.
So you're safe from
I
Freddy
my
Krueger.
I've fought Freddy Krueger many times. Like zombies, no longer, if they happen in real life, I'm convinced I'm good to go.
Well, okay,
Zombies,
we all know
yeah.
that you have your zombie first aid kit, or whatever you want to call it.
Yes. But in seriousness, I do. I have total lucidity in my dreams. I have for a long time. I didn't always, but now that it's been, 40 years, I've got it under control. So yeah, you can control the things that you're doing and not to an extent. There are certain things you can't, like a lot of times your setting. I can't always change where I'm at, but I can go, okay, I'm dreaming and I don't like it here. This is bad. I'm gonna go walk through this door and try and find somewhere else to go. And sometimes I
Okay.
can wake myself up. I can wake myself up. I have control over what I say and what I'm doing. The situations are depends. The other things going on depends. But for the most part, like last night, I can tell you right now, I had a nightmare, and it was waitressing because I still have waitressing
Was
nightmares. And those are the
in
worst. I was
Katz's
like, why
Deli?
am I? Yeah, I was actually
Was it in
a
Katz's
robin.
Deli, and someone was having an orgasm in the middle?
If it was, it wouldn't have been a nightmare, Rob.
No, but it was someone
It
else. It was
and
someone
that it would have been amusing.
else.
No, it was terrible. I was trying to write down orders, which I never used to do when I waitressed. I could remember it all in my head, but I was too old and I couldn't remember it all anymore. And it was obnoxious and stupid. So I woke myself up.
Okay,
But yeah,
that's fair.
so having the lucidity and I would say part of it probably does have to do with people who typically like to have a lot of control over their life and their destiny. I'm one of those people. It does not surprise me that Sally would also.
Okay,
And
that's fair.
Sally being rigid as she is, and I would say because she's as rigid as she is, that being her fantasy makes total and complete sense to me. It's also hilarious.
Correct. Correct. No, but it also gives us an impression that she is, I guess you could say, prim and proper.
Yes.
That what's about to happen over the next few minutes is not something that you would expect to happen with Sally.
Bingo. Bingo. Exactly that. That is 90% of what makes in the next few seconds happen. So bloody hilarious and great. And also very good.
Yes, correct. We'll get there. We'll get there.
We
You
will.
know, we're building up to it.
That's how it should be done.
Exactly. Obviously, we're not rushing into things. We're taking it one step at a time. So then Harry responds, "I think they have an okay time." Now, this comment, "okay time,"
Again, he's not really concerned about them. It's about him.
No, but he's right now trying to justify that he's able to get these women to orgasm. So to say that they have an okay time means that he's either not putting enough effort into it, or as you said, he doesn't care, but he's trying to justify it. So why use the term okay? You'd think you would say he would say, I think they have a great time.
Well, he essentially kind of comes to that after when he needs to prove himself to her.
Right.
But at this point, I feel like he's actually attempting not to be so braggarty. I think he's attempting to avoid specifically saying this because they become friends too, and he doesn't want to be too vulgar with her.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So
That
then
would be my
she,
guess. That was my
okay. All
interpretation.
right, done. I like that interpretation. And then Sally says to him, "How do you know?" And what do you mean, how do I know? I know. Because they, and she starts like waving her hand, doing circular motions with her hand, which is great. It's such a great hand gesture and therefore
She wants him to say it. She's trying to make him say it.
that's right. And he goes, "Yes, because they," and he does the exact same hand gesture, which is great. It's such an amazing interpretation, because this isn't like a hand gesture that one would use for having sex or having an orgasm or something like that. It's she's just using an everyday type of gesture in order to get him, as you said, to say it, to and
Yeah.
but she's still
Also, they're in
using
a
it as a
crowded
use.
restaurant
That's
too.
right. That's right. And still try and use it as somewhat of a euphemism, So she says, "Well, how do you know that they really?" And once again, she gestures. And Harry just looks at her and goes, "What are you saying?" And then he takes his fist and he says,
Yep.
"That they fake orgasm." And he, like, I can't say it's a fist pump, but like he moves
It's
his
like,
fist.
yeah.
It's what he,
Yeah.
it's the same gesture that he used on the plane 5 years earlier when he said to Sally, "Did we?"
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So it's how he uses it without being, again, too vulgar.
He's using it without being too vulgar, but there's two different things here. On the plane, he was talking about, did we have sex? And here
Yeah.
it's saying, that they fake orgasm, but he's using the same exact type of hand gesture for both of those things. I guess
Right,
Harry just has the same hand gesture for anything sexually related.
well, I mean, that would not be a big shock.
Correct. Correct. I agree.
Yeah.
And then Sally goes, "It's possible." And he goes, "Get out of here." And Sally then says, "Why? Most women at one time or another have faked it." "Well, they haven't faked it with me."
Oh,
"How do
God.
you know?" "Because I know." "Oh, right. That's right. I forgot.
I forgot. You're a
You're a
man.
man." And he actually gets offended by that comment and goes, "What does that supposed to mean?" And then she does a Harry on him because she goes, "Nothing." That's something that he loves to do. He loves to
Yep.
bring up a subject and then just change the subject as quick as possible
The
because
second
he,
it makes him uncomfortable.
the second it makes him uncomfortable, and the fact that he doesn't necessarily, he wants to get her, he does it in order to get her to answer, actually. He'll say, "Oh,
Yep.
I don't, okay, don't worry, you don't have to tell me." And then it gives her a reason to want to tell him. So she's trying to use that on him, but it
And it
doesn't work as
works.
well. It doesn't work as well as when Harry does it.
No. But it does because she follows up well.
Correct.
But his reaction to me is not shocking. Now, again, I would put this in context of the timeline. I think people are a little bit more educated about this kind of thing now, so it wouldn't be uncommon knowledge for a man to go, "Oh, women fake orgasms." But at this time, heck, I think even in the 90s, there's a Seinfeld episode about it where
Not yet.
Elaine sits there.
Seinfeld hasn't started yet. Seinfeld.
No, it's in the 90s. I'm saying even by the
Right.
90s, it's
Ah, okay.
still kind of a thing that's taboo to men, where they still are like, "No way, women don't do that."
Right.
Well,
I remember Kramer said
they
that he did also.
Yes. I I love Seinfeld. Okay. So he's him being shocked at this idea. I mean, it's very Harry too, because Harry lives very much so in the reality that he's created for himself and the bubble that is is Harry. And Sally does as well, and what they both do is shatter each other's glass ceilings regularly.
Correct. Which is why they're so great together.
Yes. Yes. You know, and really and together they bond over it. It's correct. And their worlds melt, and I think it's lovely. But this is she's really, really gonna smash the ceiling.
Oh, completely. And then she says nothing. It's just that all men are short, never happened to them, and that most women at one time or another, and then the minute gets cut off.
Yes.
You know, and again, I love how they're continuing to talk, and while they're talking, they're continuing to eat. You know, I didn't try to, you know, check continuity errors about how many bites each of them took or anything like that. My assumption is that there are errors there, but it doesn't really matter. You know, because this is not about the food.
this is not about the food.
Yeah. But the chemistry between the two of them during this, I guess you can call it a mini debate, works really, really well. But Harry, for the first time in this movie, is the one who's clueless.
Yes. Yes. You know, yes. This is when
the tables have turned on Harry. Up until now, Sally has always been the one who's very clueless about everything. And Harry's the one who always is trying to explain things, especially when talking about relationships or about sex or things like that. Now, he's the one who's always trying to educate her. And this scene does the switcheroo. You know, where she's doing
the dynamics afterwards, too.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Completely.
It does absolutely that. First of all, he sees a side of Sally that he didn't know existed. And secondly, it makes him realize that all of these notions and ideas that he has in his mind about relationships and his reality might not be the way that he perceives them.
Correct. But the question is, does he become a convert after this? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Exactly. I don't think so.
I mean, he evolves, but no, it doesn't change him. Not yet.
Correct. He's still going to keep acting the way that he acts up until, that he did up until now. So Heather, you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
Nope. I'm good.
All right. Great. So the script has a few minor discrepancies, nothing major, but there's some interesting stuff here. So first of all, it says that after she mentions the fireplace, it says that Sally is starting to get very irritated right now. It says quite irritated now. Okay, and then she says, not that I would know this, because he ran out and stuff like that. And then they actually have the direction in the script that both of them make gestures with their hands. It says Sally. Oh, okay. It says Sally because they, and then it says she makes a gesture with her hands. And then Harry, he makes the same gesture back. And then Sally, she makes the same gesture again. It doesn't have Harry making the fist bump, that he did. that must be a Billy Crystal ad lib along the way.
I think so.
And the only other difference is actually a pretty big difference. In the movie, in the last line here, she says that most women at one time or another. But in the script, it says, and all women at one time or another. So I guess they realized they couldn't say all.
No. Yeah, you can't speak for all women on the planet.
No, definitely not. Yeah, that's all I have for this minute. So every Monday, we have a segment called Meg Ryan Monday, where my guest will give their top five Meg Ryan movies, Meg Ryan performances. So what have you got for us?
Okay, my number five, and I've mentioned this movie before. I feel like I have on this show somehow. But I love the movie French Kiss. I think it's adorable. It's one of the few rom-coms that I actually enjoy.
I think you mentioned it as one of your favorite, diehard doppelgangers.
Maybe that was it. I know I mentioned this recently somehow because it doesn't come up very often. I can't remember. I love French Kiss and she is absolutely adorable in it. And I love it. My number four is Top Gun. I know it's a small part, but that's when I first discovered her. And she's She's great. She steals the scene in it. I mean, and you've got Tom Cruise being his uttermost Tom Cruise in that
Yes.
movie. So I love her in that. My number three is Sleepless in Seattle. It's a great movie. She's wonderful. She's adorable. I still feel like I should hate that movie, but I don't. It's wonderful. Number two is Inner Space. I love Inner Space so much. It is a forgotten film that people need to watch and
Yes,
enjoy. It's lovely.
it's
And
great.
then my number one is When Harry Met Sally. It's not really a long shot. It's just still such a delightful, wonderful film, and she is at her absolute best in it.
Yes, for sure. All right, great. So thank you very much for that. You want to tell people how they can get in touch with Heather Baxendale?
Yes, you can follow me on the interwebs on socials under HB Walsh on Facebook and Instagram for the most part. You can find my book on Amazon. It's called The Prophecy Part One Lost. And you can find the podcast, Word of Hellmouth, on Rabbit Hole Podcasts
All right, and
on all your streaming services.
while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So Heather, you feel like coming back tomorrow and continuing to up the ante and see where things are going to go here?
Yeah, I want to see how this ends.
Okay. All right. I think it. I don't know if it's going to come to any conclusion tomorrow. You know, we'll hopefully Harry and Sally will work their way towards it. So
Sounds great.
until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having too.
Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.